Do you have faith? This part of Luke is all about faith. They were crossing the sea a few weeks ago, and Jesus asked them, he said, "Where is your faith?" When he got to the other side, the people asked him to leave. They told him to go back. We read when he came back into Galilee, many people were waiting for him. Many were happy to see him, and as large crowds went with him, very few had faith. When Jesus spoke, we see people laughed at him, even though they honored him as a teacher. Yet when he spoke his words, they didn't believe them. So few had faith, a great crowd, but few true believers. We don't have a great crowd at church today, but great crowds hearing God's word. But how few really have faith? Well, it begins with a man, Jairus. At verse 40-41, there's a man called Jairus back in Galilee. He's a ruler of the synagogue. So the synagogue, the place where the Jews went to worship each seventh day, he was an elder there. He was a governor in that gathering of the people of God. So he's an important man. He had status. He was respected in the community. And most of the leaders rejected Jesus because he taught something different. But there were some who had faith in Jesus. There were some who were not ashamed to be known as disciples of Jesus. Not many, but there were some. All kinds of people follow Jesus. In the Bible we see it's mostly those that the world rejects. Mostly those who are nothing in the eyes of the world. But there are some of all kinds. And he came, and he humbled himself, and he threw himself down before Jesus. Verse 41, he threw himself down at Jesus' feet. Yes, he was an important man. He's a ruler in the synagogue. And Jesus was, well, he had no position, had no status. Yet Jairus knew that Jesus had the answers and that he, Jairus, could do nothing now. Later, we meet a woman. It seems as a nobody. But we're all nobodies before Jesus. Whatever your title, if you're the president of the whole world, yet you're still a nobody before Jesus and just need to throw yourself down before him. He came greatly sad, greatly afraid, because, verse 42, his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. She's about 12, she's going to enter adulthood soon. Raising her all those years, and she's the only one. No other son, no other daughter, but now she's dying. In Matthew, it says his words were, she's even now dead. That is, it's certain she's going to die. That there's nothing that we can do now to save her. She's lost to us. We have no hope unless you, Jesus, can do something. Such terrible things happen in this fallen world. Such terrible things happen after Adam sinned and he brought all this misery in. That you can have an only child and raise her for 12 years and you can now be thinking that she's going to be an adult, she's going to be a young woman. That not long and she'll have her own family. I'll be a grandfather, I'll be a grandmother. And yet, no such thing happens. Death happens. Tragedy happens. And these things come to all. You might be poor. You might be rich. You might be old. You might be young. You might be educated. Maybe you never went to school. But death and tragedy, awful things come. Because we're the children of Adam. But Jairus went to Jesus. He was not ashamed to throw himself down before that preacher, Jairus, an elder, a leader in the synagogue, and all the other leaders, most of them rejected Jesus, hated him. But Jairus was not ashamed to come in public to throw himself down before Jesus. Are you ashamed of the gospel? You want to keep it quiet? Don't want your neighbors to know what you believe? Don't want your friends to point at you and say, oh, she's a Christian now. She's got religion. She's always talking about Jesus. Jairus was not ashamed because he knew he had no other hope. Us too. We have no other hope. No other Savior. No one else to rescue us from the anger of God. So don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation for all those who believe. Jairus got up and he went to Jesus. Have you done that for the saving of your soul? As they went on the way, there was a woman. We don't know her name. She's in verses 43 up to 48. And for 12 years, she had been in a terrible situation. Verse 43, she had a bleeding. Her body was bringing out blood. And there had been no healing for 12 years. In other places we read, she'd been to the doctors, she'd spent the money that she had, and it had done nothing for her. All she'd done now is lost her money as well as her health. And under the laws of the Old Testament, if you had a problem of bleeding, then you were unclean under the law. You couldn't take part in the worship of the temple. You couldn't join the community of God's people. You had to be outside. And if you touch someone, then they would become unclean for the rest of the day as well. They would be shut out from God's people and worship as well. And of course, the bleeding itself would make her feel terribly weak, as blood was going, seeping, escaping out from her. She'd be feeling terribly weak. How depressed, how downcast she would be. How full of heaviness and sorrow she would be for year after year. Unclean she was, weak she was, nothing she could do about it except to waste away. She's a picture of an unsaved person. She's a picture of how we are in sin. We're unclean. We're unfit to come before God. We can't be part of the people of God. And all our efforts will only do nothing. We spend our time and our strength and energy, and all we do is lose it. There is no hope in any human remedy. There's no human doctor, no human holy man who can do anything to rescue your soul. But this woman, like Jairus, came to Jesus. When all her other hopes had gone, she came to Jesus. And what was the thought she had in her mind? It was just that, if I can just touch the edge of his cloak, if I can just touch him, then I can be healed. Now, she wasn't daring to come openly, because of the problem she had, although she touched under the law, she made them to be unclean. The people around in the crowd would be angry with her. They would say, what are you doing here? Get away. Who are you? How dare you do this? But she just had the faith that if she could get to Jesus and touch him, then she would be healed. And she was right. Verse 44. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she knew it. Verse 47. When she spoke of it later, she said she'd been instantly healed. All those years, all that effort, And yet just a touch from Jesus was enough. Are you seeking for a Savior? Are you seeking for forgiveness? Have you been to many places? You've heard many preachers. But actually, just the touch of Jesus. As soon as your faith goes out to Jesus Christ, as soon as your confidence is that Jesus only can save you, then in that moment, Jesus forgives, He washes, and He makes you clean. No effort, no more pain, no more struggle, but just Jesus heals in an instant. Now, Jesus knew what had happened, of course, because He knows all things. Verse 45, "Who touched me?" Everyone around said, "No, not me." They denied it. And Peter said, "Well, everybody's touching you. There's a whole crowd pressing around." But Jesus knew there was someone who'd come to Him with faith. Jesus knew there's someone who'd come with a desire for His mercy. And Jesus wanted that person now to stand up, come forward and to say what they'd done. This woman had faith. She didn't have perfect faith, and her faith had weakness. The Bible doesn't say that the strong in faith are saved. It doesn't say those with perfect faith are saved. It says those with faith in Jesus, whether it's weak or strong, whether it's growing or whether it's struggling, it's those with faith in Jesus who are saved. But Jesus now wanted her to come openly. That's what He always wants. What have we been learning in this chapter? He said, nobody lights a lamp and then hides it. You don't get a light into your house and then put it under the bed or under a bowl. You put it where it can be seen. Jesus has lit the light in a person's life, then He wants it to be seen. He wanted the rest of the crowd to hear the woman's testimony as to what had been done. See, because there are many people pressing and thronging around Him, but there was only one who had come with faith that Jesus was the all-powerful Savior. And He wanted the rest of the crowd to hear her words also. He wanted her to be openly a follower of Jesus. Jesus wants His followers to follow Him openly. That's why He gave baptism. That's why He made the church. So that a person can openly follow Him and testify that they had begun a new life. They have begun a new life with Him. That now they belong to Him. Now they're part of His family. But the woman was afraid, but she realized she couldn't escape. And there comes a time when we realize we can't escape, but God Himself requires us to testify. So verse 47, she came trembling, fell at His feet, and she told them all what had happened. She didn't need to be afraid. Nobody needs to fear following Jesus. Don't need to be afraid of doing what's right. Jesus is on the throne in heaven. Jesus loves all of His sheep, every one of them. He won't let any true harm come to us. He won't let any spiritual harm come to us if we do what's right. And He spoke so kindly to her. Verse 48, He said, "Daughter." She's fearing she's going to be rebuked. She's come out as an unclean person and touched a rabbi. But He says, "Daughter." He says, "Your faith has healed you." Of course, it wasn't the clothes. Don't start thinking that we need to get magic handkerchiefs or magic oil and start putting it round. It's our faith in Him which had healed her. And He wanted her to hear the words, "Go in peace. Go in peace." She shouldn't go wondering if she had she stolen this healing? Had she taken it away from Him in a bad way somehow? No, He wanted her to know that she should go in peace. When you come to Jesus, Jesus wants you to know that you can go in peace, that he's glad that you came, that by faith you receive his mercy and you go washed from your sins, cleansed through his blood. Well, as I said, there are many in the crowd, but there was this woman who now gave them her testimony. Then we go to verses 49 up to 56. 49 now to the end. In the meantime, something else had happened in the house of Jairus. Now, news came from the house of Jairus. Verse 49. And the news was devastating. The news was terrible. Your daughter has now died, Jairus. So don't bother Jesus anymore. Don't trouble him. Leave him in peace, because all hope is gone. Nobody's troubling or annoying Jesus by coming to him. But those are the words that came. The person came and said, there's nothing Jesus can do for you anymore, so leave him alone. And how can this have happened? Jairus would think. I came to Jesus. He agreed to come. But now he's been busy with this woman. He's been busy trying to find some woman who touched him. During that time, my daughter's died. Jesus has made a terrible mistake, and now it's too late. Have you ever been tempted to think that? That now it's too late. That things have gone wrong and Jesus, it just seems like he forgot you. He left you. You needed him and he wasn't there. How did it happen? There's so many miracles in the Gospels. They all are a little bit different. They all have a new teaching. And this one is to tell us Jesus never gets it wrong. He's never too late. When it looks to your eyes like he forgot you, he abandoned you, yet keep on trusting him and you'll learn something different. You'll learn that Jesus knows all things. He's never too late. Verse 50, he said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe, she will be healed. Someone might say, my baby died, my wife miscarried, my son died, and what can I believe now? The passage tells us nothing happens unless it's in the plan of Jesus. If these terrible things happen to us, then we should know Jesus was still in control. Jesus still knew that that thing was best. Now, you don't know maybe why it's best. You can't see how it can be best. But Jesus is always in control. Even when death happens, Jesus is in control. You can still trust him. He didn't explain to Jairus. He just told him, don't worry. They went to the house. Verse 52. Many people there wailing and mourning and weeping. There were many. In Matthew's gospel, we read they bring musical instruments and they're playing music. In the pagan countries round Israel, when somebody died, they made a big noise. The mourning would go on for a week, or if it's an important person, even for a month. And so much noise and shouting and wailing. It seems that those ways had come into Israel as well. The Jews had started to do those things. Of course, we mourn and we weep because death is a terrible thing. When Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, died, we read that Jesus himself wept. Because death is an awful thing to come into God's world and to come into our lives. But even so, the Bible says we don't mourn like people who have no hope. We don't mourn as if it is the end. As if God himself has died, and as if the world itself has ended. And all these wailers with their music and their noise, were there, Jesus said to them, verse 52, "She's not dead, she's sleeping." Of course, what it means is she's just there for a time. She'll rise up again. For Christians in the New Testament, death is called sleep, because we expect to rise up again. It's just for a time. We lie down, but in the resurrection morning, we rise up again. Of course, the girl was really dead. But Jesus spoke this way also because he knew these people don't believe. You can see they don't believe. They laugh, this verse 53. They mock. They don't take Jesus seriously. Jesus said these words, "She's asleep," so the truth could remain hidden from them. Those who have no heart to believe, God won't force them. Afterwards, he'll let them say, "Well, perhaps she was just asleep, she was just sick. Perhaps nothing really happened here. Perhaps there is no miracle." Because they were people who had no heart to believe. How about you? All the things you see, the things you hear, you just say, "Oh, nothing really happened there." You say, "Oh, conversion, it's nothing real. We can just explain it another way." God shows himself to the humble who are seeking him. For those who are proud and who don't want to believe, he'll give them some excuses. Well, Jesus, when he went to where the girl was, he took just Peter, John, and James, just three of his disciples. Seems the three who were closest to him. And he took the mother and the father. He took the girl by the hand. He said, "Child, get up." Just a word and a touch from Jesus, and she was back. Her spirit returned at once. She stood up. Jesus told them, "Give her something to eat." She was really alive. A miracle had raised her up. Now she must continue with her life. Just a word from Jesus. Jesus does the impossible. There's no impossible with Jesus. You might be saying, "Oh, my life, you don't know it. My situation, it's too hard." Nothing's too hard for Jesus. Even if you die, he can raise you up again if he wants to. But only believe. If Jairus had listened to the man who'd come, he would have not seen the miracle. If Jairus had listened to those mourners who had come, there would have been no miracle. Because he kept holding on to Jesus. In this passage, there's a man, there's a woman, there's an important person, there's a nobody. There's somebody who's been suffering for 12 years, somebody, it seems, who very suddenly just died. Every situation, every person, to keep trusting Jesus. Jesus raised up this little girl. Bible tells us that is a sign of what he will do for all his people later on. All Christian fathers and mothers will be reunited with their Christian children. All Christian brothers will be reunited with their Christian sisters. All those who've died in the Lord will meet again, because Jesus at the end will say, "Rise up." His word will go out and we'll return to everlasting life. And the passage shows us that those with faith have challenges, that they can fear, they can be afraid, they can be trembling, they cannot know what to do. The question is, do you have faith at all? Do you have faith in Jesus? Now, Jesus hasn't promised to raise up our children early if they die. He hasn't said we'll be healed of all our sicknesses in this life. But he gives us a picture here of the salvation of the soul. If you believe in him, then the devil cannot take you away. The wrath of God cannot burn you up. You will be in the new world. You will be raised up with a new body. You will have life eternal with Jesus. I don't ask, do you have perfect faith? I ask, do you have faith that is in Jesus? Do you have faith in him at all?